Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
A lot of guys shave in the shower.
I shave in the shower,
too. You do all, what are you, Kramer? Like, are you making soup in there?
Why do you brush your teeth in the shower? I don't need to brush my teeth in the shower.
Or no. Shave in the shower.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Just hearing that little tidbit coming in, I don't know why anybody needs to brush their teeth in the shower.
I was doing it today, laughing about it.
Why do you gotta do it in the shower, though? You can brush your teeth, like, at the sink.
I do when I first get up. But then, like I said, when I come home after the gym, I always feel like, you know, you're smelly, and then your teeth need a cleaning.
Listen, so dental hygiene, you can't get enough of it. It's not a bad thing.
I just throw it around a little bit. That's
I
all.
Spotted a guy, or you spotted a guy, walking around this building no more than an hour and 20 minutes ago with a toothbrush.
Shall we out him?
I don't think it's an outing. I think it's probably something he'd be proud of, but go ahead.
The Tat Man walked by us with a toothbrush.
Yeah, the Tat Man always brushes his teeth before he goes on air. He goes to the crapper, brushes his teeth, and then comes back.
It's always strange
to
see.
Is that like a pregame ritual?
Yeah, because when I was working with him, when I first started here, he's like, okay, I'm going to go brush my teeth, and then we'll fire up and ready to go. I'm like, what are you going to brush your teeth for?
Yeah, why are you?
And then
he'd
proceed to have a Twix bar, a bag of chips, a pizza.
Well, then he cleans his teeth up and then gets them dirty again. I don't know.
Like, I don't know either, man.
It is strange, though, to see colleagues brushing their teeth at work.
Yeah, I'm not a...
I don't really understand that move.
That is quite aggressive. Unless you're, like, here for 15 hours, I get that.
Yeah, or if you're on TV or something like that, and I guess maybe we all should be considering that.
But probably should brush our jibs up a little bit before we're on TV.
Anyway, Leafs in Tampa tonight. The Raptors are in Orlando tonight. Nick Wright will join us from FS1. He's a co-host on their morning show. He's an opinionated guy. We've never had him on before. I'm looking forward to catching up with him.
Yeah,
we'll get into this ESPN, the magazine story as well. They've ranked the 20 most dominant athletes of the past 20 years, and anytime you come out with a list, everyone's going to have an issue with something. Everybody. Now, I don't think there should be an issue for who was ranked number one. Tiger Woods is number one.
Right.
And listen, the past 9 years, he has not been dominant. But the previous 11 years, he carried a sport on his shoulders like no one we've ever seen before.
Yeah, you've never seen.
Think of how many top golfers there were that didn't win majors because of that guy. Ernie Els and Phil and guys that were just dialed in. David Duvall, David Tom, like there was so many guys where he was just like, no, my major, goodbye.
Right, and they listed a stat. I should point out that this is based on some formula, and they have a dominance rating, and they don't really explain exactly how they come to the conclusion of what the number actually is. But as a result, you get a lot of individual
the people
athletes,
that not that you've never heard
sports.
Of, but like what the hell? Why? Like for example, and this I'm not gonna try and be as, but Jimmy Johnson is fourth.
Right.
Like, who the hell is that guy?
Well, I mean, it's NASCAR,
we know the name,
right?
I know, but like, okay, that's, I'm just saying.
I'm with
like,
you, right? And isn't that the car? You know, like, yeah, he's a great driver, but we're just going to piss off every racing fan in the world.
I know.
I'm not a racing guy. I never have, and I never will be. And NASCAR, to me, is ridiculous. You turn left for 3 hours. I've never understood the appeal of NASCAR.
Now you're
going to
piss off people, but I guess
I've never understood the appeal.
Yeah, but
I remember sitting in North Carolina having lunch one day, and a lady stood up and said, come on, Jeff Gordon, race like you've never raced before. What the hell does that even mean?
That's the thing about NASCAR is you become a fan of a driver, and like the whole family's into it. They tailgate, they go to the races, they're tracking it. Like that's your life in the South. Like that in the South
it is their life.
Right.
Race like you've never raced before.
Man, they love a race in the South.
I'm like, what the hell does that even mean? Does that mean his car goes faster or he like
it is
weaves in and out of traffic better? What does that mean?
The formula has to be, like you say, it doesn't match the popularity. Like, okay, Lauren Jackson from the WNBA is 13th. Okay? The popularity of the WNBA is not as popular as World Cup soccer.
Oh, of course not. It's
She's
way
ahead of Lionel
list.
Messi.
Right.
Or, I'm sorry, she's ahead of Chris Ronaldo.
Right, I know. You know. No, I understand that, and that's not a household name, with all due respect to her.
Right.
She's not a household name, but
she is as dominant in her sport as probably, and that's probably the formula. I just, I'm looking at this, and it should be people that is, it's household names like,
well, but the thing is, though, the formula, again, they don't explain it properly. Like, the big thing is Peyton Manning's at 3 and Brady's at 20. And it's like, okay, how did, because intangibles don't factor in, and I guess the Super Bowls don't matter. And what he does in the fourth quarters at these Super Bowls that he wins.
How does the Super Bowls not matter?
Well, that's the whole point that people are yelling and screaming about, because the majors mattered for Woods.
Right.
But I guess because it's an individual sport versus a team sport. Anyway, we'll get into this throughout the afternoon. Leafs Lightning tonight. You can hear it on TSN 1050. Watch it on TSN 4. And we head down there now and catch up with Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. What's up, Ray?
Just getting ready to walk over the rink. Shocking, I come to Florida and it's raining. I'm like, seriously, stop it. I hate
there
dish,
hasn't been
on.
A cloud there for a week.
Oh, I'm schleprock. I drag rain with me everywhere. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Vancouver.
I got my family here. Okay, guys, we're going to have a great vacation now. Swim between the raindrops out there. Would you boys get at it?
Is it like pouring, like a monsoon?
We just had a thunderstorm. Yeah, just had a thunderstorm, which, yeah, probably is going to deter the walk over to the rink. But, yeah, I didn't need that. I was excited. Oh, this would be great. Get some warmth. Maybe tomorrow. Not happening today.
Yeah, well, that's the gamble, right? You never know what you're going to get when you start booking vacations. You could just get the worst breakdown of weather and you're toast.
And old comes back. Oh, it's been great. The weather's been great. Played golf. Yeah, good for you. I want some sun. I'm happy for you, I guess, sort of, maybe, but I want sun.
Well, I had the same thing. I was in Florida 2 weeks ago. It didn't rain a drop for 8 days. It was perfect.
Yeah.
So. Oh, you were only gone 8 days? I thought you were gone like 17.
No, it feels that way sometimes.
They were calling it good Scotty Mack show.
Yeah, he was real comfortable in this seat, actually. That's my understanding.
Yes, he was very, very good in it.
Leafs Lightning tonight. We're trying to figure out if this is a benchmark game or a game where both teams are like, can we just get this over with and get to the playoffs? Because we both know we're going and we've known for a long, long time.
I think me and Ray were both kind of skill players, but there's just, you got to send Tampa a message where you got to make somebody, but that's the thing. They're not really that type of team where I know. Playing against Scott Stevens or Chara, that he was making me uncomfortable. But they don't really do that. So you either blow them out or you can't screw up like they've been doing against them.
Like, because when you'd play those games near the end of the year, they'd be, if you were playing against somebody you might play, they could be a little goofy. And you know, like, and you'd be like, God, I don't know if I like these guys to play against in the playoffs,
no.
Which is what they wanted you to think about. But it's not like that anymore. I mean, the only guys that could make anyone really uncomfortable were skating after practice. And that's Martin and Komarov. So, you know, the only way you're going to make them uncomfortable, I think, and if you're Toronto, is Tampa's, even though they're 10-1-1, there's kind of a nervousness around them. Right now, because they haven't played very well. The goalie hasn't been, Vasilevsky hasn't been very good. And so if you can ring up 45 shots and make them run around their zone a bit, make them uncomfortable that they're not ready, that's probably the only way you can do it. But this morning I'm over at the skates and it was like any other game. It didn't feel like there was either team was nervous or excited, or I think it's what you mentioned, Brian. They're looking forward to, you know, what do we got here? 3.5 weeks left. Let's just not get hurt. Let's move along. You know, they want to play well. There's lots to play for, but it's not like there's, you know, man, Toronto's down there. We got to play great. I didn't sense any of that.
How do you feel about Anderson playing tonight?
Well, if he's healthy, I like it. And obviously, he is. I mean, if he's ready to go, sure, get him in. Get him to play, because even if it doesn't go well tonight, you've only got limited number of starts for him to get his game back to where he's comfortable again. I mean, I guess he hasn't been out that long, but still, he's ready to go. Get him in. I think I think the goaltending at the other end is a far bigger question. You know, Vasilevsky looked like he had the Vezina in his hand, and what do they say? He was doing his touchdown dance at the five, and he fumbled it. And, you know, he's been a mess here for about 2 weeks, and after being just spectacular for a month. So they're more worried about getting his game in order than Toronto should be about Anderson.
Yeah, Anderson, over the past couple of years, he's been in this position multiple times where he's never missed an extended period of time, but he'll miss two or three games here or there, and he always seems to return to form and maybe even look better than he did before he got injured. It's almost like he needed the rest. He knows his body. Like, I know his numbers haven't been exceptional in the new year, but they've been okay, and they've been skewed by a few bad games, and I'm pretty comfortable in what Freddie Anderson's going to be come playoff time. I've been saying that all year about Vasilevsky down in Tampa, that kid's obviously an incredible talent, and he put forth some great, great numbers for a long time, but I don't know what he's going to look like in the playoffs. I have no idea who he's going to be.
And he played the one game in the finals a couple of years ago. He played really well, but like Matt Murray, who always had the safety blanket of Marc-Andre Fleury, he doesn't have him anymore. Noodles talked about the difference of when you look over there and you can see that the guy that's charting faceoff has less experience than you. And you're like, ooh, you know, that's a little different. I mean, Anderson, you're right. He's done this a couple of years, well, actually a bunch of years, where he misses four or five games, kind of like a Fred Cation. Just takes a few days off.
Fred Cation, we're going to use that.
That's a great one. Freddie Cation, shut it down for a bit. Hope for some good weather.
Next week. Yeah, I'll be back next week.
I'll be ready. I'll be refreshed.
I used to play with a player who would self-diagnose. He would literally tell me, like, he'd be like, I'm fine, I'll be back next Thursday again. Like, he would tell the game. Like, I'm like, what? Like, I was like, must have been a doctor in his spare time. But it was, you know, a couple days, no problem. Yeah, I'll be back next Thursday against Tampa or wherever. Like, it was, but I was fine with it because the guy was quite comfortable in his skin. He just is like, yep, need a couple days off, and I'm good.
Well, a different temperature around this Fred Cation this season compared to last season. When he went out last year and they were like a point into the playoffs, people were freaking.
Oh, yeah.
Now, like, think about it. Like, Freddie Anderson hasn't been playing. Matthews has been out almost a month. And Zaitsev's been out a lot. And it's like, nah, whatever. There's 14, 15 points in. They're fine. Like, they've overcome some pretty serious injury problems this year.
Yeah, when we look at teams that miss key players, or when we look at teams that miss players, it's quite another to miss the key guys, which is what Boston has, and which is, like, I'm stunned, man. Like, they are just, they're going down like flies, and they just call up another guy. And, oh, here's Ryan Donato, who wasn't at practice today because he had to go to class at Harvard. Scored a goal and two assists yesterday. He missed practice. He had a class today.
He's a really good player.
Oh, my God. At the Olympics, Noodles, he was like his, like he could find the puck everywhere. He's really got a great shot. And man, he averaged a goal a game virtually in school this year.
And so he's continuing to go to school?
Yeah, he went to class today. I guess he must be. I guess Harvard doesn't really care if you are in the NHL or not, but you know, he's got to finish up a couple of tests, I guess.
Well, at least he goes to school. How many guys did we play with that went to college that didn't go to class once but ended up getting a degree?
Oh, they're like, if you ask them where the library is, they're more liable to find the corner pub.
Yeah. Underwater basket weaving.
Yeah, not the bar called the library, the actual library. Where is it? No idea.
Well, this guy is not going to DeVry either. This is Harvard.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're not messing around in Harvard. They're not going to give him a pass. They don't care about
I could have gone, buddy. I could have gone.
You still claim that you were being recruited by Harvard. I'll never believe it.
Didn't he bring in the letter or something?
Well, but it was written in crayon. Like, there's no way.
Harvard called me and sent me a letter saying, we want you to come to Harvard.
Yes, but they didn't say to come to school. They just said come to Harvard.
Right, exactly.
Drive through.
Yeah, come by. Hello. If you're in Boston, stop by and say hi.
Harvard and Michigan State were all over me. I said, thanks, I'm going to the O.
Obviously, neither of them had seen your high school transcript either at the time of this last.
Did you have good grades? Did you have good grades?
I really started mailing it in around grade 9, where I thought, because people were like writing articles and, you know, this guy is going to be a great hockey. So I just was like,
grade 9?
Just reading your own press clippings in grade 9. Imagine if, Twitter existed back then.
Oh, this guy from the local paper, he knows it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I love this guy from the local paper.
That's awesome.
When did you start mailing it in?
I didn't. I finished high school in 2.5 years. I rushed through it because I wanted to play junior hockey. So I didn't take any like elective classes, and I actually took correspondence in the summer. Like I mowed through it. Now I only have a GED, so I don't have like, I took 1 year of University of Lethbridge. I just couldn't do it because, I think I've said this before. And Ray, you can speak to this. We'd play like on a Sunday night in Brandon, and then have to bus to Lethbridge all night and play the next day, or I'd have to go to school at 9 a.m. the next morning. So I just,
Ray, did you mail it in at all?
No, I stayed home for grade 11. I played. I went away to play as I went to Penticton in grade 12. So I stayed home for grade 11. I played junior B as a grade 9 and grade 10, grade 10 and grade 11, and grade 12. I was in Penticton. I had loaded up my classes like noodles, and I took two classes in the first part of the. My grade 12 year till Christmas in the semester, and then I was done. And then that was it. I retired from school.
Hazy's the one that mailed it in the most, and he never made it.
Yeah, I know. That's the worst part about it. You guys were actually like scholastic, but made it to the pros.
Yeah, but you went to college.
Yeah, I did. But like,
you didn't do anything in college. I already know your routine in college. You smoked grass and drank beer.
Yeah, it wasn't strong. I'm not suggesting it was.
It wasn't strong.
I wasn't on the dean's list, believe me.
So what did you get out of it? You're on radio. Like you,
communication skills. Like I could write an essay with the best of them. I don't know.
About what?
Dude, I don't know, like the parliamentary system and stuff. Like, took different courses.
Technology and stuff.
Yeah, technology and stuff. I was the Chevy guy of university.
Yeah.
Remember in Tommy Boy?
Yeah.
Yes. 7 years. Most people are doctors. Yeah.
I was basically Tommy Boy. I just did play rugby.
You could put your head up a bull's ass.
Or you could ask the butcher.
I love it.
Tommy Boy is so good.
Or you could ask the butcher.
That show is such an underrated show.
Tommy Boy.
It's such an underrated show. That's the thing.
Do you remember, guys, at the very start, he's late for school as a little kid. He jumps out of the tree. He's running down, and he runs face first into that fence.
Yes.
So it's behind the hedge. I was watching this about 2 months ago. I'm like, my oldest guy, Riley's 11, and I'm like, hey, Rye, I think you should watch this movie. So we're watching it. He jumped out of his chair. When he hit the fence, it was so hard, it surprised him. I thought he was going to pee his pants. He thought it was the funniest thing he's ever seen. We were 8 seconds into the movie.
It's such a great scene. There's so many memorable scenes from Tommy Boy. Like every time he walks by a hot girl, he like puffs the chest out. He's asking where the gym is. You know where the gym is? It's like, dude, you're going to get a pizza. Like, shut up, Tommy Boy. You're not trying to pick that girl up.
Okay, one more when he was out on the little sailboat and the kids were, there's no wind, and they're like, hey, did you eat Gilligan, did you eat the skipper?
That's right. That Such is actually, a it is a, it's not, it's a classic.
Tommy Boy is a classic. Yeah. That's his go-to. Like Chris For Farley, sure. You know, dying young, he wasn't in a ton of movies. Like he had good cameos. Like in Billy Madison as the Bussy, he's outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding in that.
Was it Veronica Vaughn? Is that?
That Veronica Vaughn. Yeah. Yeah. There's some great scenes from him scattered throughout. He's in a movie called Dirty Work, which was Artie Lang and Norm MacDonald. Yeah. And he's got like a prostitute bit half his nose off.
That's right.
Remember that? He's got half a nose. He ends up marrying her in the end.
He's like O-Dog right now as far as half a nose. O has burnt his face so bad. I don't know if you heard this, Ray. But
no, I did not.
O did not wear a hat in, where were you, Georgia?
Yeah.
Last week. So he's like a python right now. He's shed a layer of skin.
My face feels like I just bent down, like with a burning hot barbecue, and just laid my face right on the grill.
Best part about that is there's nothing to worry about long term with that hole, and you know, and you'll probably feel better in a week. I mean, once the rest of the skin just folds off your face.
Well, the color of my suit is probably going to be more of a problem because I have a green suit on today.
With an orange tie.
Yeah, with an orange tie, the same color as my face.
Oh, well, that's like people match their pocket squares. Good thinking.
Yeah, a bit of flair in the face. Wait till you see him on the panel tonight.
We will be there. We're just we're ready to meander over. Chris is ready to go. Cuthbert's fired up. He's ready to go here.
All right. Well, we'll let you guys get after. We don't want to mess around with your routine down there.
You want to hit the
toilet?
Well,
you know, what's that?
You want to hit the toilet?
Yeah, I guess we could hit the toilet seat. Do you have time for a toilet seat?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
All right, let's hit it.
Well, I guess I don't feel like laying a toilet seat on everybody.
Come on, flush, you bastard.
Toilet seat Tuesday.
I was just shaving.
I'm going to put the toilet seat on the guy that wrote that ESPN article. Tom Brady at 20?
ESPN, the magazine, the top 20 dominant athletes of the past 20 years.
Tom Brady at 20? Yeah. And Peyton Manning, I think, was at 3.
He was. Manning was at 3.
Who wrote it? Archie Manning?
Well, exactly. Like, it's based on some formula. LeBron's at 2. Tiger's at 1. But, you know, it's... And you're going to pick your sport. Like, hockey fans are freaking because there's no hockey players included in this. There's a couple of baseball players. Bonds is there. Mike Trout. But... You know, it's
really subjective. It's really subjective.
Yeah, but it's not supposed to be based on this formula. But obviously, it's getting to a point where it's rattling some cages.
Yeah. Want me to go next?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
The booze bag who was yelling at Rory on the weekend.
At Bay Hill.
Like, it's enough. Like, you can have a few drinks, but, like, let these guys swing. Let them play. It bothers
me. I agree.
Me.
It's ridiculous. Shut your mouth. I don't care how drunk you are. Shut your mouth.
Yeah. I didn't like that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Ray?
I'm going to go with the Calgary Flames because I thought they were going to be really good. I thought they were going to make the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs. And they've traded their first and second round draft choices. Neither of them the first round, not lottery protected. Technically, the Islanders could end up with Rasmus Dahlin with Calgary's pick.
Wow.
That is not good work.
That is not good work.
You could throw in Bryson DeChambeau for how slow he plays. I can't watch that guy ever golf again. Ever.
What did you say? Around in hell is what?
Yeah, Bernhard Langer, who I saw at the Masters, and I wanted to run on the green and fight him.
But just take too long?
Kevin Na's the worst.
Yeah. Oh.
That's a mental block that he can't get over. Like, he apologizes for it all the time, but it's excruciating to watch.
Yep.
Kevin Na. I'm going to throw the state of Pennsylvania into the toilet seat because, again, like I said yesterday, I believe I have the black lung because they can smoke in the bars down there, and I was in bars all weekend. It's just so disgusting. Like, get with the times. I'm fine if you smoke. That's a personal decision. I don't work for the government. I don't work for the cigarette and tobacco companies.
Hey, you know what?
Take
sometimes
it outside,
if I'm out, I'll have one. But I don't want it. When I smell it around people, I'm like, get that away from
me. Dude, I'm wearing a jacket today. This thing, honestly, it smells like a tobacco pit.
It's crazy how times
like
have changed, though.
Gary.
Exactly.
People used to smoke in planes.
I know that.
On planes.
I know.
Like, we were on a flight in Europe. And the Czech national airline was called OK Air. And the left side of the plane was the no smoking side. So the guy literally, you could reach out and touch his shoulder. He was smoking beside you.
Isn't that crazy?
Who thought of that?
It's incredible.
You're in the non-smoking section, and the guy a half a foot away from you is just hacking a dart right in your face.
Chain smoking, and you're flying to, like, Australia.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is great.
No, thank you. Leafs Lightning tonight on TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Ray will have the call with CC. We look forward to it. Enjoy the vacation. Hopefully you get better weather, and we'll do it again on Monday.
Absolutely, guys. We'll talk to you Monday. Enjoy the week.
There's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca.
Is my face fixed or no?
I feel like it is. Like, it's not going to be that noticeable on the panel.
You threw some powder on there. It looks better. But make sure you can refurbish that bad boy every period.
Why? Is it already creeping up and being bad again?
No, you're fine, but if you get a sweat on or something, that thing's going to... You got a lot of paint on there.
Yeah, you're going to have to maintenance that.
What do you mean a lot of paint? Like, do I look like I have a costume on and then...
No, I just... I'm telling you, you look good, but I'm just making sure that if you do get a lather on or anything, because it'll flake up too. So then you're going to...
I'm dreading my Twitter. I can't even go on it.
You'll be fine.
Actually, I want to get into that. I read a piece in the Washington Post earlier today about how NBA players are all addicted to their phones. Like,
I saw that firsthand. When I did my charity thing, when I had to leave early a couple weeks ago, a few of our buddies were there from the Raps. They were eye-screwing their phones like I had never seen before. And we all do it. We're all on our phones.
Right.
But there was Leafs there. There was Raps. There was TFC guys. They were eye-screwing their phones.
Again, I don't know if the NBA is any worse than any other league. I'll bet you they aren't. I'll bet you they're all bad.
You know what? We're talking about every kid nowadays. We're not talking about athletes.
Everyone is just...
They don't know anything else.
Making love to their phone constantly.
Yeah.
It's a bad scene.
Eye-screwing.
We'll get into that a little bit. We're giving away a pair of tickets. Raptors Nets on Friday night. We'll do that. And Nick Wright from FS1 will join us next. Raptors in Orlando tonight, then in Cleveland, and then they come home on Friday to take on the Nets, and the phone lines are open. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. There is one Canadian on the Nets roster. If you can name that Canadian playing for the Brooklyn Nets, this is a brain teaser. At 416-870-1050, you can go see the Raps take on the Nets on Friday night down at the ACC. 416-870-1050, name the only Canadian on the Nets roster. Raps in Orlando tonight. Tracy McGrady will be in the house. And he's going into the Magic Hall of Fame. It's Tracy McGrady night. And I said this earlier, it's kind of a troll job, I think, to Raptors fans. Now, it's not on the Magic necessarily to care about Raptors fans, but I'm curious to see if T-Mac throws a shout-out to the Raptors. Because, you know, while he's in recent years, he said, I wish I stuck around, I wish I played it out with Vince, but at the time, he couldn't wait to get out of here.
Right.
He was dying to get out of here, and he went to the Magic, and he won some scoring titles, and he put up big years. He made a lot of money. He's had a great career.
Made some money. Then he went to Houston, right?
Yeah. T-Mac made a lot of money.
Oh, my God.
But the amount of money in the NBA now just dwarfs what Tracy McGrady was making. The guys are making 40 sheets a year.
$40 million a year.
$40 a year. Like, it's just going to keep going up.
You think about Morgan Riley, what he means to the Toronto sports world? He makes $4 million a year.
A little more than that.
He makes $5 million.
Valanciunas making like 17. I know, it's crazy.
Think about that.
It's crazy, man. You guys are getting paid in the NBA, and I don't have a problem with that. I don't want the owners to make the
money. There should be a fair meter in all of sports. What is your value? What do you bring to the table? And that's what you make
every year.
Well, no, it's like anyway. We'll all talk about it. It's an idea, though.
We got Nick Wright on the line. He's a co-host for First Things First on FS1. Smart guy. I've seen his show a lot down in the States on FS1. He's never been on our show before, and he joins us now. Here is Nick Wright. What's happening, Nick?
What's up? Good to join you guys. And don't listen. I mean, you guys are talking about guys making $40 million a year. I mean, you guys got to be close to that. You're just trying to play humble for your listeners.
That's right.
I know how the game works. But yeah. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, we're men of the people up here in Toronto, man. We're like Robin Hoods of radio, though. We give it all back. I'm sure you do the same on FS1.
Oh, clearly. Obviously, that's the whole thing. The whole reason I do what I do is to then give the money away. And you're right. I've never been on the show, and so I appreciate you guys having me on. Toronto, however, is my wife's favorite city. She's been there a few times and has been begging me to go there with her. So hopefully at some point I can come see you guys in person. But thanks for having me.
Yeah, it'd be great, man. And we were just talking about the money, and I'm all about players getting cash. I don't have a problem with that. But it does get strange when there are fans out there that, for whatever reason, just do not want to see players get paid.
Yeah.
Would rather see the owners get paid. Is there a threshold for you, though, in any sport? But I guess we're talking about the NBA, where it just gets so exorbitant, where it's crazy money and it doesn't make sense to you?
No, to me, not at all, because I have seen plenty of fail sons, plenty of people who have done nothing in their lives inherit a sports team. I've never seen someone be like, hey, how'd you make the NHL? Oh, my dad granted me his roster spot in his will. Like, the people that make these bets on themselves as pro athletes, for them to be rewarded as such, I have no issue with. And I would argue that if you're in the top tenth of a tenth of the top 1% in the world at anything, whether it is medicine, whether it is law, whether it is accounting, whether it is being a violinist, you are going to make absurd amounts of money. And so I think people conflate, should we, and I don't know enough about Canada's like public school system to speak on this as an expert, but like, should we pay public school teachers more? Absolutely. But the amount of money LeBron James makes, that is not coming from the pie where we could be giving seventh grade algebra teachers. I'd much rather the money go to the athletes than to the owners. Now, you could argue for a paradigm shift in how we pay the guys. So, like, the NFL salary cap's $180 million. There's 53 guys a team. You could argue every single player on the team should just get a $1 million base salary, and then at the end of the year, based on performance, you chop up the rest of the money. If you want to say it should be more incentive-based, less guaranteed, like, I'll listen to all that, but I'll never argue for the owners to keep a bigger share of the pot.
Well, and it's a segue into the NCAA conversation, and I was down in the States a couple of weeks ago, and I saw your show, and I was watching you go at it with Doug Gottlieb on this, and Gottlieb has always had the take where, you know, it's free education, it's all good, you don't have to spread the money around, and I saw your take on why you believe the players should be making money, and it's one of those scenarios where, from my standpoint, like, I get it from a football and basketball perspective because of the amount of cash that comes in simply from TV revenue, but how do you spread it throughout all the athletes, or do you even have to spread it through all the athletes when it comes to playing for free in the NCAA?
No, I don't think you do. I think at the very least where we can start is simply allowing athletes, allowing students, the same thing I was allowed. I was on, and this isn't, I'm not saying this to be self-congratulatory, but it's important to the point. I was on the three largest academic scholarships Syracuse offered. I also was paid to do radio by outside radio stations. At no point did someone come to me like, damn, Nick, you lost your student eligibility and your scholarship's forfeited. At the very least, if the local sandwich shop wants to give the starting point guard $5,000 to come by and sign autographs, he should be allowed to. And by the way, if the local sandwich shop wants to give the women's softball pitcher $5,000, she should be allowed to as well. The idea that we are totally free market capitalism for everyone except for college athletes is a total absurdity to me. And if you want to take it a step further and say, how would we pay players? Not just endorsements, but how would we pay them the same way we pay everyone? You just open it up. Someone wants to pay you to do something, you allow them to pay you to do something. And there is a very, very uncomfortable and unfortunate racial component to this that no one wants to acknowledge. What we have in the States is money generated by men's football and men's basketball, which are overwhelmingly black sports played predominantly by poor black kids, that then subsidize the polo team, the golf team, the tennis team. So you have money that theoretically could stay in the black urban community, help a few hundred thousand dollars here, a few hundred thousand dollars there, to help pull families out of poverty for kids that are not going to be pros. Instead, they are given, quote, an education, unquote, that very often is not actually an education, and that money is then generated to pay for a kid's golf scholarship. That bothers me on a fundamental level. And so would you pay everyone? No. And would you pay everyone the same? Of course not. But that's, we don't pay everyone the same in any industry I've ever been in. Like, I do not make the same that the camera guy on my show makes, but the camera guy and I have a great relationship. It doesn't ruin people. People understand this is how that works. And so I love the NCAA tournament. I love college football, but I think the whole enterprise, it leaves me feeling a little uncomfortable in the exploitation of it.
He is Nick Wright, co-host of First Things First on FS1. You can follow him on Twitter, at GetNickWright.
I agree 100%. And when it comes back to college sports, don't you find, I mean, I'm sure you put your ear to the ground. I know in talking to players I played with that went the college route, there's just so much circumventing anyways. If you just made it more mainstream, then I think you wouldn't have to break the rules. And I know players that were on half scholarships that were made into full scholarships by him allegedly working at the rink, but he never showed up once.
Right.
But on paper, he worked there.
$40,000 to, like, pick up a mop for 5 minutes.
My right. buddies used to own businesses in North Carolina, and they would just have the basketball guys or players, they would work, and
it's happening.
I'm like,
anyway.
You're elite, you're criminals. And then, no, everybody does it.
Well, here's the thing, but that is the perfect example of the reason that when people say, would you pay everyone? Like, I know this sounds, I don't mean to sound unfair, and I certainly don't mean to sound sexist, but if there is a market, like UConn women's basketball, right, there might be a market to pay those young ladies because they are stars in their area. But people are not typically circumventing the rules to find ways to get money into the track and field athletes' hands, to get money into many of the female athletes' hands, just because there is not the same level of interest. Now, we could have the value discussion about whether there should or shouldn't be, but the reality is there is not, and so at least not at the moment. If you have people that want to pay for something and are finding ways to pay for something, and the reason they're not allowed to is because of this outdated, outmoded concept of amateurism, people need to remind themselves of this. It was determined that room, board, scholarship was a fair trade-off for your athletic endeavors and your athletic prowess before the games were on television. So before there was $1 of television money involved, that's when we decided room, board, education is a fair trade. Now that the highest paid strength and conditioning coaches in the world are not in the NFL, they are in college football. Now, where many of the highest paid coaches, assistant, coordinator, head coaches in the world are not in the NFL, they are in college football, we have to look at it again. And the money is there, obviously. The money is there, and the one other argument people make is, oh, well, if you do this, how on earth is Texas Southern supposed to compete with Alabama? In what world is Texas Southern competing with Alabama?
Right.
People are like, oh, if you do this, all the top recruits will go to one school. Oh, how would we deal with that? As if that's not happening currently with Kentucky and Duke and Carolina and Kansas. Like, people argue that this is, that they're getting a good deal. They're getting enough. But we would never allow that for anything else. We would never say to the coach, listen, you know what's a good deal? $500,000 a year to coach college sports. That's a pretty damn good deal. So we're capping it at that. That's the most you're allowed to pay anyone. People would scream from the hilltops that that's socialism. And down in the States, man, there is no dirtier word than that one. But for some reason, we're good with it for the college kids. It irks me, man.
The show is First Things First on FS1. He's on Twitter at GetNickWright. Great stuff, man. We'll have to do it again down the road. Thank you so much for doing this.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me on. Talk to you again.
There he is, Nick Wright from FS1.
Makes a great point.
Yeah, listen, I was just down there. It was a packed house in Pittsburgh. Duke is out there, and that's Duke. Like, Duke sells. Like, these networks are paying. Mike Krzyzewski probably makes $6-7 million a year.
Wow.
He's never shot a basketball. Like, it's, you know, it's not him, it's Grayson Allen.
That guy coaches the dream teams, too.
They're right, and that's Duke and Calipari and Kentucky and, you know, Boeheim and Syracuse has been there forever. These guys are multimillionaires, and the kids don't make anything. It's the kids that are out there playing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, CBS and TNT, they're fighting over each other to spend hundreds of millions of dollars for the rights.
And not all those kids are guaranteed to go on to pro and make money.
95% won't. 95% won't.
Yeah.
And don't, and I've always just laughed at the idea, well they're, it's, they get the scholarship and they're taking a spot from some other kid. No, they're not. They're not, the schools aren't capping the amount of kids that can go to the school. They're right. getting all the money from the other kids that are paying tuition. And then on top of that, they're like, okay, we'll add a couple of students out.
And you sell out a stadium with 100,000 fans. Those right. fans are paying to get in, right?
They're all paying. Yeah. They're all yeah. paying. Anyway, March Madness kicking off again on Thursday. You can watch it on TSN. And
was that your idea to go watch that? Or was it the guy that was getting married that he wanted to do that?
Yeah, Bachelor wanted to go do that. What, you wouldn't want to go to a March Madness game? We didn't stick around for that long, I'll be honest with you, but we were in the house to see Duke play for a bit.
What do you mean a bit? What, did you go for 10 minutes and then left? What the hell's the sense of going?
Well, in retrospect,
you could have watched that in Vegas.
Was the game Friday night
and gambled
or was it
on
Saturday?
No, it was Saturday. It was a Saturday afternoon.
Because if it was Friday night, you guys weren't making it.
No, the bus was on flames by the time we got to Pittsburgh. We weren't going to make it.
Saturday, you need something. On a boys' trip, you need at least one distraction to be like, yeah, we went to the game. We did something.
And
like,
usually you go to the games, you don't end up staying for the whole time. Like, no. I went to Chicago. We went to Wrigley. When we were in Nashville, we went to a Preds game.
Yeah, you try and do that.
Like, I'm going to Vegas in the spring. If the Golden Knights are still playing.
Yeah, you go.
We'll see what happens.
I'm telling you,
I have to be consistent with my take that I don't want to go in Vegas, but I might get dragged to it.
What if it was Leafs-Vegas in the final? You're going.
Well, of course. If it's Leafs-Vegas in the Cup final, I might treat it a bit differently.
Well, if it's Leafs-Vegas in the final, we're all
going.
The whole station is going.
Let's all pack our bags and head to Vegas. That would be outstanding.
I will go for free.
Yeah, already, me too. I'll donate my checks.
Superiors,
can you imagine the condition of media members if it's Vegas, Nashville in the conference finals?
Oh, dude.
I can't even imagine.
No, me neither.
Saravelli and LeBron and those.
Saravelli like, will die.
All the boys. All the boys.
It'll be good.
There's a lot of options.
Duffy, like it would just be a gong show.
Yeah, out east, not so much. Jersey, Columbus, Philly, Pitt, Tampa.
Well, you were just in Pitt.
I know, but it doesn't match Vegas and Nashville.
You're right.
Like, I didn't mind
no
Pitt.
No way.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's not Vegas. Bob McKenzie will join us. He's down in Florida at the GM meetings. We'll catch up with him around 6:25. And Steve Phillips down in Dunedin. Get his take on the starting rotation being announced today, and it's going to be Jay Happ on opening day against the Yankees. And I was going over the rosters of teams in the American League last night. Like, the Yankees are so stacked. So stacked. But in baseball, it's never 100% proof when it comes to predictions. One of the big boys is going to fall off.
Yeah, but
I don't know who it's going to be, but we'll see what Phillips has to say about it. He's coming up in about 20 minutes. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. You could buy your next smartphone off that guy in the corner, or you could buy it off ebay.ca. Find brand new smartphones for only $500. Shop eBay's flash sale until 10 p.m. today to receive a 15% off coupon. New season, new coupon. eBay, fill your cart with color. Shop ebay.ca. Bobby Mack and Steve Phillips coming up. We'll get back into the how the rest of the country is going to react to the Leafs in the playoffs now that the Flames are pretty much out of it. There's only two Canadian teams.
Hatred.
I fully expect hatred, and I don't expect all the national news to be like, oh, and the Leafs are playing tonight, and everyone needs to get on board. And
I think you may surprise yourself. I really do.
I was kind of hoping Vancouver would have beat Boston in the finals that one year.
But I think there will
come on, Canada.
There'll be
but
a casual fan that draws, because this isn't a team that... I mean, there's a lot of likable characters on it.
I don't think that's what it's about, though. It's about the city.
Well, the
and
city,
Leaf fans
I get the
and...
city and the perceived arrogance. I get that, but I'm
about what they call TSN. What do they call it?
Toronto Sports Network. I understand that, but what I'm saying is, like, if I'm a fan, I watch Austin Matthews.
Well, that's fine, but I'm telling you, I don't think it's going to happen. We'll get back into
it.
Phillips coming up, McKenzie coming up. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.